Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. Higher Ground Financial Group does not provide securities investment advice. No part of this program should be construed as advice to buy, hold, or sell any security. Any mention of securities is incidental and for educational purposes only. Legal and tax advice provided through Higher Ground Legal Incorporated pursuant to signed retainer agreement, if applicable.
Welcome to Optimize Your Retirement, presented by Higher Ground Financial Group. This is the radio show and podcast dedicated to helping you navigate common financial challenges on the path to a successful retirement. Tax attorney Daniel Razvi and his father, Raz, have a passion for guiding people towards financial freedom by helping individuals understand and reduce the three biggest retirement killers: risk, fees, and taxes. Now, let's begin. Here's your host, tax attorney Daniel Razvi.
Welcome back to Higher Ground Financial Group and our radio show with Raz and Daniel. Daniel's here as a tax attorney. I'm here. We're talking about retirement income and different things, different plans, different ways to look at retirement income, not the traditional way of just putting it in the stock market.
And if you want to meet with us on free consultation, go to riskfeestaxes.com and we'll be happy to talk to you and give you fiduciary advice for your situation.
Yeah. And we get a lot of questions about rental properties. Rental properties. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, we've talked about it before, but we'll talk about it again. One of the things is people don't really understand about depreciation. Okay, if you have a rental property and you depreciate the property, what happens? How does that work?
So when you have a property, you're producing income. Let's say after all your expenses, you still are making some money, which means it's a good thing. You have cash flow. The government allows you to depreciate the value of the property, meaning to pretend that you have a loss, basically, kind of like 1/27th of your property value, basically. You divide it. Over 27 years, you depreciate it down to zero, so you can take some of the value of the property as a deduction on your taxes, not really for your other income, but really against your rental income.
Yeah.
So, if you have a $500,000 property, you might have an $18,000 tax deduction this year, and that tax deduction will go against your income. So the first $18,000 will be tax-free income.
That's nice. And there's another way, too. There's something called cost seg. Right. What is cost seg?
Cost segregation is when you can depreciate certain pieces of the property all accelerated, so all up front. So certain improvements you make and a certain equipment that you buy, there are some different calculations that can be made to reduce or.
So, for example, if you owned a commercial property or if you owned a apartment building, certain parts of that apartment building may depreciate faster than the overall general building. So that's ways to cost seg and increase your depreciation, have more deductions, and have more. But what if you have too many deductions? Can that happen?
Yeah, too many deductions can be a problem because you can save them for future years, but you may not be able to use much in any given year.
But darn it, if I got a deduction, if I'm losing money, why can't I use it now? Why do I have to wait?
Well, because if the government considers this deduction for real estate to be related to passive income. So if you have active income from a job, then you cannot deduct the passive loss against that unless you're a real estate professional. So it's possible to become a real estate professional. That does not mean you need to be licensed to sell real estate, but it's a designation on your tax return that your primary business is real estate, even managing your own properties. So if you're retired, some of our clients do claim as real estate professionals because they don't have some other job. They're spending most of their time thinking about their rental properties, and that allows you to deduct any losses and big deductions that you have against any other income, even income from other sources. So it's possible.
Essentially, what you're turning a passive income source into an active income source, so you're able to deduct more than you otherwise would be able to. So if one spouse is not working outside the house, they can claim that spouse as a real estate professional, even without a real estate license,
right?
Because they're spending most of the time with the real estate and they're able to deduct more against even their active income then.
Yes. Now, hopefully, if you're using it as a retirement plan, you do want to be making money. You don't want to be losing money. And some of those deductions that you're taking are for real things that are costing you money. So it's nice if you can actually use the depreciation to make the income tax free, but really be getting income every year in retirement. And so when it's set up properly, you have the right amount of deductions every year to go against a certain amount of income to recover your lifestyle and vacation money, retirement, and not have to worry about paying taxes on that.
Yeah, and also if you own a business and you own the building, it should be two separate businesses. The business that owns the building should rent that building to your business that runs in that place. And that's a good way to separate your incomes, also depreciate a little bit more, and have a better or a lower tax in one area and have more income overall. So look for strategies that can help you do the right thing to minimize your taxes, fees, and risks. So Risk, Fees, and Taxes, that's our website. Risk, Fees, and Taxes. Go to our website, make an appointment with us. We'll be happy to talk to you about your situation and see how we can minimize your taxes, risk, and fees. And so let's take a look at that. In rental properties, there's a lot of other problems too. People come in and say, well, I don't want a rental property. You know, because I don't want to be a landlord.
Yes. So you don't have to be a landlord. You can have a property manager. I mean, we talked about this on the program before, but it makes sense to have a property manager so you don't have to be fixing a toilet in the middle of the night. You know, you pay someone, and there are very expensive. A good property manager will charge you a lot of money, a good high percentage of the rent, but then the headaches go away, and it really is much more of a income that doesn't require a lot of work and effort on your part.
So one of the things is it doesn't really matter what your property manager is charging you so long as the numbers make sense, right? We're all about numbers.
Yep.
So if the cash flow is good, even after you pay twice as much to the property manager than somebody else may be paying, that's okay. Okay, everybody's got to make a living. So long as you're making the cash flow that you want.
I've met some people that manage their own property. So they saved entirely. They're paying nothing for a property manager, but their cash flow on the money they have invested is only about 2 or 3%. Every year, they're getting about 2 or 3% of the equity they have in the house, but they're not paying a property manager. So they save that fee. Then we have a client that's paying 20% to their property manager every year, 20% of all the rents. But even after that and all the other expenses, their profit is about 15% of their equity. So they're making really good profit on that money that's invested. And they're much better off. Even though they're paying tens of thousands of dollars a year to this property manager, it still makes sense. So the numbers have to work. And you need to have cash flow. Again, when you're retirement planning, you don't want to be buying real estate for hoping that it will appreciate in value and get worth more later.
So buy and hold is not a good strategy for real estate if you're in retirement.
No.
If you don't need the money and you want to buy and hold because you're a multimillionaire, you have plenty of pensions and income from all the different sources and you want to buy and hold, go ahead. That's fine. That's a different strategy.
And that's an opinion-based investing, not contract-based investing. If you want sustainable income in retirement, you need contract-based investing, which would be in addition to things like insurance companies and banks, you also have rental properties, which are based on the contractual income you get.
Yeah. I'll give you an example. One of our clients, he's a country doctor, and he was making okay money, but not great money. And he said, what can I do? We talked to him into getting rental properties early on. Okay. So he started diversifying, taking money, not sort of putting all his money into stocks. He started buying properties. Now they own like 10 properties producing a good $500,000 of income. So he can retire and have that income coming in no matter what. So he's actually making more money in rental properties and income from the rental property than he is making as a doctor now. So it can be very good. Now, what if you're tired? You've had rental properties or you really have bad taste in your mouth. You don't like the rental properties. What choices do you have?
Well, you can sell the property. If you sell the property, you're going to usually pay capital gains, which could be quite a bit of money in capital gains taxes.
But I heard it could be 0 or 15%. Is that not right?
Yeah. So if you make less than $100,000 of profit and you're married, then that could be capital gains could be zero. But most people, when they sell a property, they're going to pay a lot of capital gains. So the only other options are to do a 1031 exchange. That means buy a new property. So you could exchange a bad property for a good property. And you don't pay any tax on that exchange, so that's useful.
But if I'm really just tired of being in the property game and I don't want to be out.
Right. Then you could do a couple different things. You can defer those taxes by using some kind of deferred sales agreement where you're only getting paid on some of that money each year. Or you could put it in a DST that invests in other real estate, which is kind of like a 1031, but with less time commitment on your part. And then there's CRUTs, Charitable Remainder Trust. You can donate the property to a charitable trust. That'll provide you income and you not have to pay the capital gains. It's deferred. You're still going to pay tax on the income, though, and you're no longer getting the depreciation. So there's always pros and cons to any of these strategies. again, we like at Higher Ground, we like using rental properties as part of your retirement plan. They just need to be high cash flow producing properties that are producing more cash flow than what you could get guaranteed someplace else. And right now, with interest rates the way they are, you can guarantee really good return on from a bank or an insurance company. So you really need to make sure your property is a good property that's producing the right amount of cash flow. Go to our website, riskfeestaxes.com, to learn more about what's the best thing for you and how to reduce your risk fees and taxes.
And do the research first. Don't make a decision on something without doing the research. You can do the math behind it. That's where we come in. We can help you. But if you don't want our help, that's fine. You can do the math yourself, but do enough research. Find out what the rents are going for. Find out what the values are and things like that. There's a lot of different things that go into it, and even expansion. You know, is the city going to expand their limits? And is this going to be inside the city? Are they going to build an amusement park or a racetrack or something else nearby? All those things can go into what kind of investment you're going to make. Don't just make an investment because, hey, I just fell in love with this little town. That's fine. If you don't really need the money, you don't really worry about losing money and things like that, that's okay. But if you're really concerned about retirement income, you got to take a look at all the math, all the numbers, and make decisions based on that, not emotions. And once that decision is made, then hopefully, if you make the right decisions, then you have a plan that you will sustain your lifestyle for the rest of your life and not have to worry about it. Because stress-free retirement is a lot better than having to look at your money every day.
And so rental properties help with several of these risk, fees, and taxes. They can reduce risk on the market if you have less in the market and more in income-producing properties. They can reduce taxes because income could be tax-free from these properties if it's done right. And, you know, you may or may not be paying a high fee for a property manager or something else, but as long as the cash flow still makes sense, so you're still earning a good return and it's giving you that income that you can spend, then it could really be worth it.
So, and we're running out of time in this segment, but I want to touch one more thing about this. What about mortgages? Should you buy a rental property with or without a mortgage?
Almost always you want to have a mortgage on your rental property because it allows you to leverage assets better. Now, that does not mean leverage it to the hilt and then not have any cash reserves. You need cash reserves. So what I am not saying is put all of your money into scraping together this down payment and then mortgage everything else and have no other safe money. You need money that is safe, that is not in real estate.
So ideally, if I've got $200,000 for a rental property, I should maybe put half of that down, the other half as a safety net to take care of other expenses. So I'm using other people's money. I'm not tying it all up.
So if you put only $100,000 down, you might be able to buy a $500,000 house. And yes, interest rates are high. The mortgage will be expensive.
But rents are high too?
Rents are high too. So you need to figure out how much you're going to make. If you're going to put $100,000 down, you want to be making more after all the expenses than what you could be making just leaving it in the bank. So that's the best way to compare. If you could earn 5% in the bank, then you better be hoping to earn more than that by having that money invested in the real estate.
So if I hear you right, what you're saying is if I have $500,000 and I'm looking at a $500,000 house, I should never put $500,000 down on the house, buy it for cash.
Yeah, almost never. You usually never want to buy it for cash. If you have to get a specific deal, sometimes you get a cash real quick and then refinance it, take the money out again. But you don't want to keep a house that's paid off. There are probably 8 or 10 reasons why it is usually a bad idea to have a paid off house of any kind. And we can go into those more in another segment. But
So be sure to tune back in and we'll talk about mortgages and how they work.
Yes. Yeah, so, maybe today, maybe next week, sometime we'll probably talk about that topic. But again, we'll go to our website, riskfeestaxes.com, and learn more. And we'll talk to you about your specific fiduciary plan.
See you soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Optimize Your Retirement. To take the next step and receive personalized guidance tailored to your specific financial situation, schedule your free call with tax attorney Daniel Rasvey. Visit riskfeestaxes.com. That's riskfeestaxes.com. Or call 888-263-HGFG. That's 888-263-4434. We look forward to hearing from you.